In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Today, the church gathers to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. This is one of the few events that you find across all four of the Gospels that we find in the New Testament. These Gospel accounts, by the way, stand up to the most rigorous historical scrutiny. We won't get into all of the weeds today, but we might have a Bible class on that sometime. These historical records each show that Jesus was raised bodily from the dead. This was not a spiritual resurrection. It was not a mass delusion experienced by the apostles, and it was not simply a pious myth. The Gospels speak of Jesus as being raised from the dead in his body, that he ate with his disciples, that he spoke with them, that he even had St. Thomas reach out and touch his wounded hands and side. As if that isn't enough, St. Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians, our epistle reading for today, by the way, only about 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus, says this: "He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one point, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." Now, that may not seem like a very remarkable statement to us in the year 2017, but think carefully about the assertion that St. Paul is here making. He lists a few very specific people by name who saw the resurrected Jesus. And then he goes on to say that that same resurrected Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers who saw him raised from the dead. And most of those 500 were still alive at the time that St. Paul wrote and sent this letter to the Corinthian Christians. What does this mean? Well, it means that if the Corinthian Christians wanted proof beyond a doubt that Jesus was really and truly bodily raised from the dead, they could simply go and seek some of these people out and ask them questions about what they had seen. And these weren't just any people. These weren't just people sitting outside the restaurant gossiping. These were actual eyewitnesses to the events of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And so if someone really and truly wanted to disprove Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead, they could have done it with relative ease by simply going and asking a couple of questions. But no one was able to do it. No one has been able to disprove from the eyewitnesses that Jesus indeed is raised from the dead. St. Paul goes on to say, "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." And this is what makes the New Testament accounts as reliable as they are as historical narratives. They were written by the apostles, all of whom were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And so it's worth noting that all of the apostles also went to the grave, except for one, St. John. All of them went to the grave preaching and confessing that Jesus indeed had risen again from the dead. They were martyrs for this idea. They believed it so firmly that they were willing to die for it. And most of them did. This is important, because it means that we can rely on the deathbed testimony of these men, that the resurrection of Jesus is historically accurate accounting. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
what's the big deal? What does it matter if Jesus is really raised bodily from the dead or not? Let me put it a different way. How would it affect your life today if Jesus weren't really and truly bodily raised from the dead? Would you still be a Christian? Would you still be here this morning? Well, St. Paul actually addresses this very question in the same letter that we've been reading from, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." This means that if Jesus isn't raised from the dead bodily, then I have wasted my time up here this morning, and I wasted a whole lot of time this week. And you people sitting in the pews, especially if you did not come to breakfast this morning, are really wasting your time today. That is, if Jesus isn't bodily raised from the dead. He goes on to say, "We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised." That means that the reliability of the apostles and what is written in the scriptures depends on the actual resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If He was not raised from the dead, that would make the apostles liars. And that would make every Christian down to today who confessed in the creed, as we did a few moments ago, that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He goes on to say, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." So not only would you be wasting your time here and be a liar if Christ isn't bodily raised from the dead, but he says your sins, you know, your evil thoughts, words, and deeds, those things that have separated you from God, those things that will cause you to go to your grave, that if Christ isn't raised from the dead, your sins still hang around your neck like a noose. If Jesus is not bodily raised from the dead, that is. He goes on, "Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." Those people in your family, your friends, your relatives, your loved ones, even if they have died in the Christian faith, if Jesus is not bodily raised from the dead, they too are dead, and they are gone forever. If Jesus is not bodily raised from the dead, you will not see them again. You were lied to about that whole thing. And because your hope in Christ only benefits you in this life, St. Paul says you are of all people most to be pitied. Without the bodily resurrection of Christ, we are wasting our time. We are liars. We are sinners doomed to die. And we are the most pitiable people on the face of the earth. In other words, Christianity without the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is nothing but a house of cards. But the fact of the matter is this: Christ has been raised from the dead, and the Gospels, the letters of St. Paul and the other eyewitness accounts and testimonies, serve as historical proof for us that Jesus indeed has been raised from the dead. And the benefits of his bodily resurrection from the dead not only cancel out everything that would go wrong if Jesus weren't truly raised from the dead, but the bodily resurrection of Jesus gives us so much more. And that so much more is the guarantee that though we die in this life, when we open our eyes on the last day, it will be in our bodies, glorified bodies, bodies like Jesus' body. And that is why we confessed in the creed this morning, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. This, dear friends in Christ, is why the Coptic Christians who were mercilessly slaughtered in Palm Sunday church bombings last weekend were able to die unfearing. Some of those who were killed or harmed in those bombings have lived under the threat of violence from Islamic terrorists their entire lives. And yet, they still had the boldness and the confidence to go where Christ had promised to be, to give them the gifts of forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. They went to the place where Jesus promised to feed them, his very body and blood, as an antidote to the death that they would experience. In fact, their confidence was such that a few hours after those attacks were finished, a video surfaced on the internet of those Christians standing in public outside of their bombed church and chanting what you just confessed a few minutes ago in the Nicene Creed. They were not afraid. We who are so easily distracted from going to church because we don't feel like it or because of some other conflict have a lot to learn from these dear saints. But they were not afraid because they knew that Jesus, by his bodily resurrection from the dead, had destroyed their death forevermore. And this means, dear Christian, that no matter what harm may come to your body in this life, whether it is at the hand of violent men or a violent disease or even just old age, death cannot harm you. Jesus has taken your death upon himself. He died in your place, and you died with him in the waters of your baptism. And because you have died with him, St. Paul says that you will also be raised with him from the dead in your body, just like he was this Easter Sunday, nearly 2,000 years ago. And this is why we have a cemetery. And this is why Christians bury their dead. We bury our dead in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection on the last day. As I like to tell my children sometimes when we drive by a cemetery, that out there is going to be one of the most happening places when Jesus comes back to return us to his side in his kingdom. All of those graves will be opened, and all those who have lived and died with Christ will be raised again in a glorified body, a body just like Jesus' body that is raised from the dead, and they will be given eternal life. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what the big deal about the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is all about. That is why the first Christians structured their weekly worship around this day. Not because Sunday was convenient, because Sunday is the day that Jesus rose again from the dead in his body. And this, dear saints, is why we are gathered here today. We gathered here today to rejoice in the bodily resurrection of our Jesus from the dead. We gather here to hear Christ, who is victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil, as he comes to speak to us the words of eternal life. We are gathered here today to eat his body and to drink his blood as the medicine of immortality. And through these things, we have the guarantee and promise of eternal life
in our resurrected bodies on the last day. And nobody and nothing in all of creation can take this away from us, because indeed, Christ is raised from the dead. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.